considering calculations one might do as they exchange various muons. And I hope, after our discussion last time, everybody kind of understands in principle how one might do these calculations. We wrote down a formula for the propagator. We know what the interaction is. So we just do the usual Feynman integral, where on the Wilson lines, we do a path-ordered exponential. So these points are ordered. That's the only funny feature of it. And the result we were claiming was that the OR matrix, this is at Z, this is at Z prime, the OR matrix comes from kind of as it states, the evolution of states from down here to up here. So today what I'd like to introduce is an object which plays an important role in field theory, which is called the Yangian algebra. So I don't think Pedro explained this, right? No. So this is a kind of a central object in many studies about integrability, integrable spin systems, integrable field theories, and so on. I'll explain it how to see it from this point of view. So suppose we have a Wilson line. Say in the x direction. So this will give us the operator, which is the path order exponential of the integral over x of my connection as an operator from the bottom to the top. OK, so one might ask, well, are there other Wilson line operators I can construct? Like, what else can I do? My connection has three components. I could write down some other combinations of them, or maybe of their derivatives. Will that give me something meaningful? Well, it turns out there's really only one extra thing you can do. So for example, we could try to consider, so let's assume that the group is U1 for now, in the Abelian case. Something like the integral over x of the y derivative . But this will not give us anything interesting, at least on shell, precisely because, as we discussed, the motion of this Wilson line doesn't change anything. The theory is topological in this plane. So more formally, the equations of motion say that fxy is equal to 0, and that implies that this integral will vanish on shell. If it vanishes on shell, you can show that in the path integral, it won't contribute either because it'll be a total derivative. So the only thing we can do is consider the z derivative. So this expression is not constrained by the equations of motion. So let's write down the most general kind of Wilsonine we can construct, which will give us something really new. So V is a vector space. We choose linear maps rho I from our Lie algebra. So we're going back to the general case with a non-abelian gauge symmetry. Here's to the endomorphisms of V, i.e. the space of matrices, such that rho I is equal to 0 for I sufficiently large. Then we can try to insert in the path ordered exponential something where the ith z derivative is coupled by rho I. Ordered exponential in the integral over x of the sum I rho I applied to d z is an I factorial here, so. So the leading term is just the usual gauge field. Then there's a term where I couple to the first derivative of the gauge field and the second derivative of the gauge field and so on. So there's nothing to stop me trying to build a Wilson line like this. It's a perfectly reasonable expression. The only problem I might run into is that this expression might not be gauge invariant. However, there's a condition on these linear maps which forces it to be gauge invariant, which is the following. So we need that for all elements x, y in our Lie algebra, the bracket of rho I x rho j y is rho I plus j x y. So when I and j is 0, this is the usual condition that a form of representation. And then we have these higher corrections. Yeah, sorry.
In the expression of the path order exponential, mm-hmm. A of x, is that x the coordinate x or just index x?
It's the coordinate x. This is the integral over the x line. Let me take the x component of the connection and differentiate it. Any other questions? So this is something one can check, but the meaning of these equations is that these guys give you a representation of a certain infinite dimensional Lie algebra. And maybe I'll specialize to g equals gln to simplify the notation. So let's consider g equals gln, and we'll introduce an infinite dimensional algebra. Which is written as gln z. What it consists of, it consists of series it's a series whose coefficients are matrices. Or in other words, it's a matrix whose coefficients are series, if you want to think of it that way. Now, the Lie bracket on this is just given by the usual commutator of matrices combined with the usual multiplication of series. So for example, if Ij is the elementary matrix, then Eijz A Eilzb is equal to, depending on your conventions, okay, so the row I are precisely a representation of this infinite dimensional Lie algebra. Okay, so maybe a small technical point. You know, this consists of some infinite sums, so it's perfectly, sometimes finite sums can be converted to some infinite sum. So you want this representation to be continuous, and that forces whatever these rho I to be zero for sufficiently large I. Okay, so hopefully this Lie algebra has appeared in other places, because this is the positive half of the Kasmoudi Lie algebra, or the current algebra that people might have seen in study of string theory. So we've come to the conclusion that classical Wilson lines are the same as representations of this infinite dimensional Lie algebra. So how about quantum Wilson lines? It's not guaranteed that every classical Wilson line will lift to a quantum Wilson line, or if it does, that it will lift uniquely. So there might something funny might happen. This turns out to be a representation of something called the Yangian, which is a deformation of this quantity, this Lie algebra. Or rather, if it's universal enveloping algebra. So what I'd like to derive for you is the relations in the Yang-in. And what we're going to see, you know, this expression up there, we'll find this expression is corrected by a term at order h-bar to find some new algebra. So how will we do that? So the thing we're going to use is that we know what the Orr matrix is. And that's the only thing we'll use. So let me explain how this works. Get my notes, make sure I'm consistent with conventions. So suppose we have a Wilson line of some horizontal Wilson line and also add a vertical Wilson line near z equals infinity, then we can consider the following expression. I take my vertical Wilson line, which is at z, and suppose the space of states at the end of the horizontal Wilson line is some vector space v. So this vertical Wilson line is in the fundamental representation. Sorry, this is getting a bit busy. Now, what can we do? We can put an incoming state at the top of the vertical Wilson line. And an outgoing state at the bottom. And that gives rise to an operator on this one. So in concrete terms, this operator is the same kind of thing we've been considering. We have some Feynman diagrams kind of exchanging gluons there. But we're not going to worry too much about the details of that. We just know that it gives rise to some linear map depending on C, on Z. Can people see over here? Tij, z, goes from v to v. Now, we're going to derive some relations for these linear maps. The first thing to note is that we can expand it in series in z. Now, z is near infinity. So the leading term, when z is actually at infinity, then these guys are infinitely far away, so they don't interact with each other. So the leading term is just delta ij times the identity on v. Then there's other terms, just for later purposes, I'll insert a h-bar there to normalize them. Some z-dependent terms. Now, these z-dependent terms will be related to those guys. Because if I shift this whole picture in the z-plane a little bit, nothing will happen. But if I shift the vertical guy a little bit, then I will differentiate these guys with respect to z. Whereas if I shift the horizontal one in the z-plane, then I'll differentiate the action of the loop algebra with respect to z. So there's going to be some relationship. So classically, T, I, J, N is going to be related to E, I, J, Z, the N. OK, so our goal is to figure out what relationship these operators must satisfy. So as a first step, notice that if I put two vertical guys parallel to each other, this is V, this is at Z, and this is Z prime. This is Z prime Z. And I still have these states, I, J, K, L. Well, when I order operators on the horizontal line, that just gives us the operator product. So whatever I get from a configuration like this will just be the composition of the operator coming from this one with this one. This gives V, I, J, Z prime. What's it? See, where's my picture as well? Doesn't matter. Z composed with T, K, L, Z prime, where this composition takes place. Okay. So now comes the fun part. We can try to move these guys past each other, because we saw that Wilson lines can be moved around in this plane, so we can move these past each other. So naively, you might think, oh, that just says it doesn't matter which order we take the operators. But if you think about it more carefully, you'll see there's some effect at the states, the top and the bottom. That will give rise to a commutation relation. So let's see this more explicitly. I can draw the following picture. So I can cross them like this. Here I have I at the top, K, L, J. This is Z prime, Z. And this is going to be equal to, let's just take this guy and move it up. Z, Z prime, I, K, L, J. So these configurations are equal because I can slide this guy around. However, we also know what happens here at this intersection. It's the OR matrix. So inserting that will allow us to express this guy and this guy in terms of some compositions like this one. Any questions about the story? So let's write out the formula. Well, before I write out the formula for the OR matrix, let's just see what we find. Let's look at this one. This is I, K, L, J, and this is a Z prime, this is a Z. This is equal to the sum of OR, I, K, or S, Z minus Z prime, times just this picture. because at this intersection, we have the OR matrix. Okay? And its effect is, I can think about moving this very far up, its effect is to change what happens to the states at infinity. That's the only effect it has. So, of course, there's going to be a similar computation for the other guy, and we'll find an expression relating the OR matrix and these T operators. That will be the relation for the Yangian. So let's drive it in full by writing down what the OR matrix is. So here's the formula for the OR matrix. OR of Z minus Z prime times applied to states EI tensor EJ is equal to Z over Z minus H bar minus H bar over Z minus H bar EJ tensor EI. So it only has two terms, one of which the I state just kind of goes through, and the other which they, so that this I becomes there, and this K goes there, and the other one, the I goes there, and the K goes there.
Expression for the R matrix, is that exactly all orders in the loop expansion?
Yes. So it's pretty hard to like really compute it directly with the loop expansion. So to derive this expression, you use some facts that there's only one solution to the Young-Baxter equation. So. Okay, so plugging in this expression for the OR matrix together with the kind of things we have at the top, where I express something with where the vertical guys cross in terms of a composition, we end up with the following identity, which okay. Well, firstly, let me write it out with the OR matrix left, just abstract without the formulas. So equating this one with this one gives us this identity. DSLZ is equal to sum TI OR Z TKS Z prime OR S JL Z minus Z prime. So this relation, people also write it more succinctly as like this. With, you know, the location of the indices understood. And this is known as the ORTT relation. So here we've derived it just by moving this guy up and down. Okay, so what does it look like if you plug in this expression for the OR matrix? Actually, maybe, are there any questions? Maybe I went too fast there. And this guy I just get from putting in OR there and saying that when those two guys are next to each other, it's a composition. So I'm reading this OR, T, T. T, T, OR. That's how I'm reading it. Now, if you actually plug in the formula for the OR matrix, we get the following equation. So I'll just tell you I won't go through all the details, I'll just tell you what you get. Once you work it out, you find that the commutator of TKL of Z prime with Tij of Z is H bar over Z minus Z prime times TIL Z prime TKJ of Z minus TIL Z, TKJ, Z prime. Okay. So we find this nice formula, the commutator of these two guys. I mean, it has a first order pole. Right, apparently has a first order pole, but if you notice, this expression vanishes when Z equals Z prime, because when Z equals Z prime, this expression is the same as this one. So the pole cancels. So we'll get an expression. You know, if we write this, we get an expression for the generating function of these little tij's for the commutators of those in terms of the same kind of things. Okay, any questions about this? So it's kind of a fun exercise to, you know, plug in the series expansion into there and divide what you find here by Z minus Z prime to get some expression, and then find relations for the coefficients of the generating function. So if one does this exercise, we find the following. In terms of the expansion, it's the identity plus some so. We take this expression, we plug it into this formula, you do some manipulations, you equate coefficients, and you find the following. So, TKL, N, T, Eij. So the first term, delta I L T K J N plus M minus delta K J T I L N plus M. So this first term is the classical relation we found for the, we found just a relation in the loop algebra. But then there's an order H-bar correction, and that's all there is. It's minus H-bar. Something is not quite right. Okay. It's an expression whereby the classical commutation relations are, have this first order correction. And this is the presentation of the Yangian algebra. Okay. Any questions about this so far? Yeah.
You said this is somehow related to the current algebra?
Yeah, so when I set h-bar equals 0, you know, the current algebra, people sit there, the, like the Kasmudi algebra, Kasmudi current algebra, has a similar presentation like this, except when these guys are integers and I get a second term, the central extension term. Level. So when h-bar is equal to 0, this algebra sits inside it as a positive half. But when h-bar is non-zero, it just deforms it. It deforms that positive half. Okay, I feel I've thrown all this algebra at you guys. I think this stuff is super fun to manipulate, but maybe it's not so much fun seeing somebody else do it on the blackboard. So maybe I should say, like, why is this an important thing to understand? This relation, and this form is the form in which is easiest to remember. This form is the form in which is most explicit. So this is an important algebra, as I said, because it appears all over the place. It appears in two-dimensional integral field theories. It appears in four-dimensional n equals four gauge theory. It's kind of a very universal thing. There's two-dimensional n equals two theories. So it's a really good thing to know. So it really suffices just to consider the, you know, anytime you write down some relations like this, there's some consistency conditions they have to satisfy to ensure that they give you a nice algebra. If you write down some random relations, then by applying, you know, associativity, you might get too much stuff. You might find an algebra which is much smaller than you wanted it to be. So that kind of reasoning will tell you that actually you can generate all of these other relations just from the very first non-trivial one involving the case when n equals 1. So TKL n TI 1 1. I didn't write it. So A must be 0 here. So we have the usual delta IL TKJ 2 minus delta KJ TIL 2 plus H bar. A equals 0 and plus B is n plus n minus 1. We would just find this simple quadratic expression on the other side. Okay. So I think that's all I wanted to say about the Yangian algebra. Not all I wanted to say. All I wanted to say about its derivation in this method, its presentation. So maybe I'll spend a few minutes discussing some generalities about spin chains and about how the Yangian algebra appears in the study of spin chains and how spin chains are related to field theory.
Could you explain the difference between the definitions in terms of field theory of T and R? Other than just sort of plugging in these I and J states at the end of.
Well, the difference is that you're right, there's really no difference. They can contain the same information. Like if V is the fundamental representation, then T would be OR. Just rewritten slightly. But the nice thing about this argument is that maybe we can calculate what OR is when I have two copies of the fundamental representation. But here, only the vertical guy has to be fundamental. I don't need to know anything at all about the horizontal guy. This could just be some abstract, crazy Wilson line. We have no information about it. Somebody defined this and said there's a Wilson line. And this argument tells you once there is a Wilson line, whatever it is, it has a representation and it has an action of the Yangian. That's really the only difference.
Is this z equals infinity feature important?
Yes.
Could it be really different?
Yeah, so for example, there is another story with, if you wanted to study spin chains with a trigonometric OR matrix, instead of having the complex line C, you would use C star or an infinite cylinder. And then you would have two limits, z equals infinity or z equals 0. And by thinking about that, you would find two T's and three relations involving this T plus, T minus, and you would find a presentation of the quantum loop algebra. So.
And in general, you would have some divisor on the curve in the holomorphic direction, and you might have sort of, for all of the points there, some distinguished.
Yeah, and that's certainly possible. I think that goes further than we can really do right now because we really need our curve to have a one form with the only poles and no zeros. So that means it must be the plane, C star, the elliptic curve. So. So let's take say G are grouped to be SL2. So Pedro defined things like spin chains. So he said, so how would they appear in this story? Suppose we replace 2 by or times S1. Now it's a cylinder. And then we consider we put N horizontal Wilson lines. The states at the end of the Wilson lines is space of states is C2 cancel together n times, yeah?
So which direction is horizontal now?
Horizontal, sorry, the the or direction. Sorry. So there are Wilson lines on the degree non-compact. We have states at the end of them. That's the usual space of states of the spin chain. Suppose I put a Wilson line wrapping the circle. This gives an operator, S1, say, at z. And let's suppose for simplicity that these guys are at 0. But that's not so important. So it gives some linear operator, T of z, this is called the transfer matrix. I think Pedro would have discussed this, right? And for different values of z, these commute with each other. And in this picture, how visible is the top? Is it when it's up there? Is it visible?
Not with these lights.
No, with no. In this picture, if we cut the cylinder up, if we cut the line wrapping the circle up into segments, we'll get an expression for T in terms of kind of local elementary pieces which happen at each intersection. And this will be the standard expression for the transfer matrix in terms of the OR matrix. At every intersection point, we have the OR matrix. And then we're going to multiply them together in the vertical direction. And because it's a circle, we take a trace. So we find that T of z is the trace of the OR matrix to the nth power. So what does that mean? What do I mean by nth power? Well, the OR matrix is it's a matrix from C2 tensor C2 to C2 tensor C2. I'm only taking the trace and the nth power in one direction. So this is So we take or n and decompose in one factor of c. Of c2, so that the trace of or of z n is a linear operator. Okay, so I'm mentioning, one reason I'm reminding you of this story is that we have this, well, now we find this rather nice interpretation of what is the Yangian. But the Yangian is the thing that acts on an open spin chain, whereas the transfer matrix acts on a closed spin chain. Then there's maybe n horizontal lines. Get a linear map. Tij of z from c2 tensor n to c2 tensor n, just from this configuration. Let's say, assuming all the horizontal ones for simplicity are at zero, as before. So from these pictures, we see two things about it. Firstly, Tij of z defines an action of the Yangian. Secondly, the trace of this guy, this is the transfer matrix. So I suppose this is an explanation of why, if you were just caring about spin chains, you might come across the Yangian algebra in a very natural way, and it might be, and it will play an important role in the study of spin chains.
Is this related to the monopoly matrix?
I think it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, there's several different terminologies.
Yeah,
that
they call it the monopoly matrix.
Okay, great. Yeah. See. The other thing I wanted to maybe I'll stop here, but I wanted to maybe next time I'll talk about why the Yangian algebra has a coproduct, which is a fancy way of saying that if I know how it acts on one vector space, then I can make it act on the tensor product of two vector spaces. Now we can derive a formula for this in terms of these pictures. Yes, and then we will also be able to derive another formula for it from an analysis of Feynman diagrams. Okay, so I'll stop there. Yeah.